Praise the Lord. This is Minister James Pope from Mount Calvary Miracle Temple. Once again, we're going to give this a try. Hopefully this is less scratchy. I hope so. I reset everything, and we're just going to give this another try. So just a pleasure to be before you all. We're going to just jump straight in. And so we've just dealt with the Shema, which is from Deuteronomy chapter number 6, verses 4 and 5, which reads, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." So we understand that the Hebrew people, they embraced these scriptures the same way that we modern day Christians would embrace John 3:16. And let's see here, one moment, it's slowing down a little bit. Okay, so they embrace these scriptures the same way modern Christians would probably embrace John 3:16. So given the understanding that there is numerically one God, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Let's go on to the next scripture. So we're going to also be talking about the judgment of God this evening. "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." So the word of God is powerful. There is nothing quite like the word of God. I want you to think of the word of God. And there was a discussion that I was in just a few days ago and also last week where we were talking about the nature of the word of God and how there are many forms of the word of God. There's the written form. There's a written word of God. And there's also the spiritual word of God. And we also understand that there is no distinction between the word of God and God. St. John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So we understand that an individual who embraces the Jesus of the Scriptures, God, embraces the Scriptures, keeps His commandments according to the Scriptures, also embraces God. There is no distinction. You can't go against the things of God in Scripture and then claim to embrace God in reality. It doesn't work that way. There is no separation. And so here the writer of Hebrews is describing the Word of God, describing the capability of the Word of God. God as a wise user of His Word. God is a very competent God. We never have to worry about God getting it wrong. God is a very wise God, a very competent God when it comes to His Word. Look at how sharp it is. "For the Word of God is quick," which means living, it's alive, and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So there is something about the Word of God, how it's quick, it's sharp. And God is able to judge us. And we want to talk about the judgment of God also. But again, going back, though, to the name of the lesson or the topic this evening, it is giving God our secret stash. Giving God our secret stash. So when we come before the Lord, we should understand that the Word of God is quick and powerful. So you never have to worry about when we get into battles, spiritual battles, we can always rely on the Word of God. It's sharp. There's nothing quite like the Word of God. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. So God is able to discern our motives and the intents of our hearts. God is a competent God. He is not slack concerning His wisdom. And so I just want us to talk about when we approach God, you know, before the the broadcast cut off the first time, I was relaying how we as human beings, as the church, are like temples. Okay? And each temple, each person has rooms in their temple. And it's up to us to allow God to be the Lord over every room. And I also shared that I am constantly finding new rooms in this temple that I have to keep letting the Lord, keep turning over these rooms to the Lord so that he can be the Lord over every room. The idea is when we're worshiping God, we give it our all. We hold nothing back. And I know that some of us have, and I'm going to break, hopefully I'll break this down around 8:30. Well, at 8:30, that's it. I'm telling you, probably, well, I'll just try to hurry up. I'm not going to probably put time restraints or time marks on the Bible class because it'll be kind of choppy. But let's go on to the next one, Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of whom we have to do. So we can't get anything past God, so we might as well get things right now. Well, let me break down judgment, because we're about to talk about the white throne judgment. I don't think I'm going to get through all the scriptures that I have prepared for this evening, but let's talk about the great white throne judgment. There's going to be a judgment coming, and in that judgment, now I was always taught that the great white throne judgment is not the judgment of the saints, it's the judgment of people who were resurrected for the second death. And obviously we're going to break all that stuff down, but what we need to understand is they're going to be judged from the things that were written in the book, and it's going to be according to their deeds. Okay, I see that we are still having the thunder may have something to do with our frequency this evening, so asking you to please hang in there, and if we have to go ahead and take some time to upload, then things should be fine. But there's going to be a judgment one day, and you might say, well, where are the saints judged? Well, we were judged, and we are judged technically on the cross. So the wages of sin is death. We might as well give our secret stash to the Lord. The wages of sin is death. And because I know that the wages of sin is death, then in my body, I've got to be judged according to my works. Now, James, as a sinner, if I did not approach God, I would have to be judged according to the things that I did in my body and then the intents of my heart. According to the scriptures, there is a certain thing that's going to happen to folks who hold on to their sins. It's known as the second death. But the saints are not so, because our sins have been judged on the cross with Jesus. So instead of me going to hell and suffering and receiving punishments and consequences for the sins that I've done in my body, the Lord has forgiven me. He's taken those sins on his own body on the cross. And now he has given us our spirit so that we can live accordingly. So we have a lot to be thankful for, but we still need to honor God. Now, going back to the Lord, who is he? In Isaiah chapter 43 and 11, it reads, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. So I just want you to kind of put your thumb right there on that scripture and remember how the Lord is trying to reveal himself to his people. And he's telling them, hey, there is no other Savior but me. I am the only Savior. I am the self-existent one. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning of the end, the first and the last. And by the way, Omega is actually the Greek. When we talk about Omega, it's actually a Greek letter in the alphabet. So if we were to transliterate it, it would be, I am the A to the Z. I am the Alpha and Omega. I am the A and the Z. I am the first and the last. So God, we need to just trust in God. God has this thing figured out. And it always, it always astounds me how many times we try to figure out problems in our own lives, and we try to, you know, put our own efforts into it and our own work into it. And then once that doesn't work, then we depend on God. We need to flip that around. We need to first depend on God, and then only depend on God to work out these situations. Anyway, I'm I got to really go on here. But I know, want you to notice that he's saying, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. But if you look in Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 4, it reads, but after the kindness and love of God, our Savior, still keeping in context and still keeping in line with the Old Testament teachings, but after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man, appeared. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. So it's not going to be by our own efforts or by our own works or righteousness. In fact, even at my best, I still come up short. There is a prophet that said, you know, my righteousness is as filthy rags. So even at my best, I still come up short. I cannot clean myself. But according to his mercy, he saved us. Well, how are we saved in today's time? By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So we're saved by the Holy Ghost. And there's another scripture that says that baptism doth also save us. So the Lord is the one doing the work, not us. In Titus 3 and 6, I want you to notice here, because remember, who's the only Savior? God is our Savior, as we were just taught in the Old Testament. Now in Titus chapter 3, verse number 6, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So either we have a contradiction going on, either the Apostle Paul, who's writing to Timothy, who was a bishop at the time, either Paul is contradicting what Isaiah said, or Paul is contradicting what was written in Deuteronomy, written by, and it's attributed to Moses. So either Paul is contradicting the teachings of the Old Testament, or Paul realizes that he's actually fulfilling, that Jesus actually fulfilled the Old Testament. So there is no distinction. And I believe the latter. I believe that Paul realizes that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment. He is the self-sufficient one of the Old Testament. He is the one that spoke to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He is the one that did those things. You might say, well, Jesus Christ was born on a particular date and time. He was a human being. Yes, but you got to understand that was God manifested in the flesh. And this is, again, keeping up with what we're talking about right now. If we go into St. John chapter 3, verse number 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God loves the world. And in fact, this particular scripture, Jesus is approached by Nicodemus at night. And Jesus is actually having a conversation with Nicodemus, who was a ruler of the Pharisees, and he was letting him know basically a summary of why he was there. You know, he was giving him a summary. And so what I want you to see is it's not one person sending another person. Okay, that's not it at all. What I want you to see is that when we read that the Father sent the Son, you got to understand that it could be interpreted the Spirit sent the flesh or the Spirit manifested the flesh. Now, to back this up, I don't want you to take my word for it ever. I don't ever want you to take my word for it when it comes to me saying things. I always want you, if there even is a question of something that I'm saying, I want you to go to the scriptures, find it out for yourself. And that's the only way we're going to grow. So let's go into the scriptures. Let me take a dose of my own medicine. And we're going to go actually into Acts, the 20th chapter, verse number 28. And it reads, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. So this is Luke. Luke is believed to have written the book of Acts. I look at Acts as being a sequel to the book of Luke. And Luke is actually writing about the words that Paul is saying. Paul is actually sharing some information with some leaders of Ephesus. Notice what he says. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. So he is talking to the leaders, right? To feed the church of God. But notice what this says, which he hath purchased with his own blood. So what am I saying? I'm saying that when we pray, we don't have to worry that we're leaving someone out. We don't have to make three distinct prayers. We don't have to pray one prayer to the Father, one prayer to the Son, one prayer to the Holy Ghost. And again, not even picking on like a dogmatic attitude against Trinitarians, because this also is extended to people who pray to other entities, other saints. Some people pray to Mary. And you got to understand, there's only one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. And so when we have Jesus, we have everything. You don't have to worry about leaving somebody out, because it's going to give God the glory when we pray to the Lord. And so we're going to keep going on, because this is getting good, isn't it? In Philippians chapter 2, verse number 8, it reads, "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Notice verse number 11 again, "and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." So we are supposed to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. We are supposed to pray to Jesus. We are supposed to do everything in the name of the Lord. It's not leaving the Father out. It's not leaving the Spirit out. In fact, it's doing quite the opposite. When we do honor Jesus, when we do confess that Jesus is the Lordship, notice who gets the glory. To the glory of God the Father. Why? Because he's one. The Lord our God is one. And we should love the fact that we know who our God is. We're not confused. I've even had conversations with Jehovah's Witnesses, explaining to them that Jesus, meaning Jehovah's Savior, is the one who saved me. The Jehovah that they claim to serve is actually the one who saved me. And so when we're baptized in the precious name of Jesus Christ, you don't have to be worried that we're leaving somebody out, because according to Colossians, you know, Colossians chapter 2 and also Colossians chapter 3, that the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in Jesus. What does that mean? That everything that makes God, God, all the qualities of God, all of the attributes and characteristics of what makes God, God, dwells in Jesus Christ. So when you have Jesus, you have it all. If you've ever heard somebody say the term, "I have Jesus in my heart," how can another human being enter into your heart? It's impossible unless that human being is Jesus Christ, whose spirit is in our hearts today. And so we understand that when we have the Holy Ghost, when we have Jesus, when we have the Father, we have Jesus. Jesus told his disciples, "I will not leave you comfortless," being interpreted, "I will not leave you as orphanos. I will not leave you as orphans." So what he was letting them know is, "I am the everlasting Father. I am the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter number 9, verse number 6. I am the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." So when we have Jesus, we have it all. And I know, this is actually a good segue. I said I was going to talk about practical living and everyday things. Again, keeping in mind that we have to give God our secret stash. So if somebody is holding on to something this evening, if you're holding on to something secret and you feel like no one else understands or no one else knows what you're holding on to, the Lord sees what you're holding on to. You might say, "Well, I'm married and I've never cheated on my wife. I've never did anything against her." But the question is, are you lusting? Are you holding on to lust? Do you have a problem with your flesh? You need to manage that. You need to allow God to manage you. God can forgive you. God will forgive you, but you got to give up that secret stash. You got to cut it off and let God be God of your life. He wants to be the Lord of every room. Is there somebody out there tonight And you might not think that that lusting is doing any harm, but that lusting is corruptible. It will corrupt you. It's sin. It will lead you into places that you don't want to go. Why don't you just give everything to the Lord? Jump in. And I understand that when you have faith in God, that sometimes for the first time and you have faith in God, you are making a risk. You are risking something. The Lord honors that risk. The Lord values that risk that you're taking. But oh my goodness, if you have faith toward God, He will clean you up. He will give you a testimony. He will give you strength. And the thing that you'll be receiving for you exchanging that thing is far more valuable than the very thing that you gave Him the beginning. And I know sometimes we talk about the different, I don't know why I'm talking about lust tonight, but I know sometimes, we talk about those who are single and stuff. Let me just break that down too. I wasn't married all the time. And I remember when I was single, let me tell you something, there was some struggling. there was some struggles, but we still have the capability of trusting in God. There is no test greater than God. There is no condition greater than God. If you still have breath in your body, God can receive you if you repent, but you got to give up that habit. You got to give that up. You know, somebody might say, well, I just drink a little bit of wine, a little bit of alcohol. Now, you know, Jesus wasn't on the seashores of Galilee with any Hennessy. God didn't do that. You know, Jesus was not, there wasn't any of that. Little grape for the stomach's sake, you know, drink some, if you really want some grape, drink some grape juice. Well, and I'm not trying to shame anyone, but if you listen to last week's lesson, we talked about having a sober mind, because we know that that the devil is as a lion going to and fro seeking whom he may devour. And you can't be around a lion, something as dangerous as a lion who is hungry, when you're not alert. If you're drowsy and you're ready to go to sleep, let me tell you something, the lion loves that, because he's about to get some food. He's about to feed off of you. So you got to be alert, child of God. Yes, I'm talking to you. I want you to learn to know that the Lord loves you. You got to give God that secret stash. Give Him the secret stash. The thing that you don't think anybody is being aware of, that's what the Lord wants. And I remember tearing for the Holy Ghost in 1995, praying to God. And I remember I just wasn't receiving it. And I remember just one of the things in my mind as I was giving things over to the Lord were, you know, I had to give up people and people that I was hanging around that weren't leading me in the paths of righteousness. They were stumbling blocks. They were blocking my fellowship with God. And sometimes you just have to give people up. You just have to say, you know what? I'm not going to be hanging around them any longer. Didn't mean other than what I'm trying to say is they were stopping my progress in the Lord. It wasn't anything personal against them. It was just stopping my growth in God. So I had to let that go. Okay, I had to let it go. Again, what is that secret stash? That secret stash this evening could be listening to a song you have no business listening to, watching a movie you have no business watching, being around people that you'd have no business being around, secret sins that you don't think anybody is watching. And I remember when I was single, oh, thank God I got married. Thank you, Jesus. But I want you to know that that even if you're single today, God can still keep you if you want to be kept. You don't have to do like the world. You don't have to give up. You don't have to throw in the towel. God can keep you. And I know people don't teach this message a lot anymore. There's some folks who are still teaching it. This is the only teaching that I know of. We got to make it. I know that some people feel that there are certain conditions that we are automatically born into that God can't clean us up or get us out of. Now, let me just say it right now. Homosexuality, that is not greater than God. God can change your viewpoint. God can change your perceptions. God can change your spirit. God can change what you like. God can change the things that you want to change if you want to change. That's the point, though, isn't it? Do you want to change? God can change you. But we have to keep on giving these things over to the Lord. You know, a lot of times, you know, we talk about lusting after women, lusting after men. Hey, if you're a man lusting after a man, no, that's not going to be, that's not the way of God. And we got to do better, saints. We got to do better. Now, I know that there are certain things that we like to be polite because we love everyone. And I hope everyone knows that. I'm not picking on anyone tonight. I'm not singling anybody out. But if you're struggling with that spirit, I'm not trying to bash you or anything like that. I'm not trying to put you out there like that, but I just want to let you know that there's hope available to you. If you want to change, you can change. God can keep you. God can make you strong. God can give you a testimony. He can fill you with His Spirit. So let's go on. This is some good stuff, isn't it? If we go into the book of, because we talked about Jesus is now that Savior, right? And in the Old Testament, the Lord's saying, well, there's only one Savior. I was going to go into Revelation. Might as well do this really quickly. Let's see. We got about 14 minutes. Yeah, I got enough time. So if we go into the book of Revelation, chapter number 11, here we have John, who was exiled on the Isle of Patmos, and he is writing the things that the Lord is showing him. Now, if you ever want to know what Revelation means, because I'll be the first to tell you that, do I understand everything in Revelation? Absolutely not. I don't claim to know it all. That's why I'm still a student. I'm still depending on the things of God. I'm still going to Bible class and Sunday school and worship services because I need and want to learn more about God. But if you ever want to know a summary of Revelation, just look no further than Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. Again, we're talking about the self-same God, the self-sufficient one, the Adonai, the Lord, the self-existing Lord of the Old Testament who revealed himself to Moses, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're talking about that very same God has revealed himself to us today in the person of Jesus Christ. And we know him more and more through the power of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that awesome? And look what John writes. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. This is the white throne judgment. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea... And this is what I want you to see. So these people are being judged. This is after death. So you can't escape God just by dying. Oh, no. It's going to take a lot more to escape God. You can't escape God. You're wanted dead or alive. And the sea gave up the dead. So, again, there are certain people that have, and not to be too graphic, but there are certain people that have lost their lives in the sea. Well, the Bible says, according to Revelation, and the sea gave up the dead, which were in it, and death and hell. Now, this is one area where the Jehovah's Witnesses got it right, where they say that hell means the grave. Well, I would agree with them that the word that means hell is also the grave in this particular scripture. And death and the grave delivered up the dead, which were in them. So, yes, they are correct when they quote that. But I want you to, they don't go further. And they were judged, every man according to their works. Now notice this. This is the part where they don't focus on. And death and hell. So in death and the grave, those that were found in death and in the grave were cast into the lake of fire. These are people that did not trust in Jesus Christ. These are people that did not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. These are people that were disobedient. These are people that were embraced their sins, that held on to their sins. And this is the second death. So there's a first death and there's a second death. The first death is a natural death and the second death is a spiritual death. And I know that there are some who believe, I know we have a lot of people watching, and so hopefully you'll stay with me while I'm reading this, while I'm going over this. I know that there are certain people that believe in the annihilationist theory, that we just cease to exist. Oh no. Maybe if you're looking according to the flesh, yeah, you have something that's here one day, and you're looking at something that's made of some matter or something like that, and something can be broken, something can burn up, you know, and then that's it. That's in this life. But you got to understand, there's a second death, and you don't want to go on that second death, because that is spiritual. That spirit, and for lack of better wording, that soul is going to burn in a lake with hellfire and brimstone. Now, you might think, now, how would a loving God, why would a loving God do something like that to me? Well, God is still a loving God. We put ourselves there. We are born as rebels, and we have to come back to the Lord. We have to come back and claim the name of Jesus and receive his sacrifice. Why would you die when you can live? And so we go to that last verse that I was going to read. Well, the last one in Revelation, actually. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. But there is some good news. If. Now, we don't believe in. I don't believe in unconditional eternal security. Okay. I don't believe in unconditional eternal security. I believe in eternal security, but it's conditional. What is eternal security? That means that God is going to protect you. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You can't get more eternal secure than that. But I believe it's based on a condition. Look at what he's saying right here in 1 John 1 and 9. If. So it's conditional. So it's like a contract. Have you ever filled out a contract? If you sign here, this means you've got to uphold your part of the contract, and we will uphold our part of the contract. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So again, it's conditional. Why won't you just come to the Lord? All you got to do is just give up that secret stash. Give up that secret stash. Give up that secret stash. There is no habit that's greater than God. Why don't you let the saints pray with you? You know, we'll fast with you. You don't have to hold on to that thing. Those habits that make you feel depressed, and those old habits that make you feel like you want to do something to yourself or lash out with anger, you don't have to hold on to that. Maybe you're holding on to resentment because of what someone said to you, and you're holding on to unforgiveness. You don't have to hold on to unforgiveness any longer. And I know it's a lot easier said than done, because I know that there's a lot of atrocities that people have endured, you know? And I think that we need to have compassion on our brothers and sisters. We need to have compassion on people outside of the church. They need to see our love. They need to know that we do love them. We do care about, look, we do love you. We do care about you. Yes, we are saved. Yes, we believe in worshiping a holy God, but we love you. We don't want you to die. Why will you die when you can live? There is a way. You can make it out. And I don't care how horrible your situation is. I don't care what that situation is. God can keep you out of that. Let me just be a little bit transparent today. I've been divorced before, and I don't normally talk about that because I'm a private person. And, you know, all I'm going to say is there was one time after I felt miserable. I felt like I had no value. I felt like my ministry was destroyed. I felt like people didn't want to even fellowship with me. And I would never talk about the particulars or the details of that because it's not everyone's business. But just know that, you know, the Lord had mercy on me. And I don't care if you've been through a divorce before, if you've been through something similar, maybe you've been diagnosed with an illness, a sickness, and you feel like you don't have any value any longer. That's nothing but the devil telling you that. And you don't have to believe the devil. You can still find mercy. You can still find grace in the Lord. Again, I'm just going to look at this again. If we confess, All you got to do is confess. Now, it's just a little bit more than verbally doing something. That's the starting point. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, we have to understand in 1 John, he was dealing with Gnostics, people who believed that all matter was evil. And so we were talking, you know, that's the background and the format for that, who John was talking to. But you need to understand that he is capable of forgiving you of all your sins. You can. There is still hope for you. You can have. Maybe, you know, and I again, I don't really like talking about, sharing about my divorce that much, because I understand that to people who have not had one, it can be a stumbling block. Oh, what can he tell me? He's never been in this situation. Well, all I can say is that there are guidelines in scripture. I'm confident. I have to stand before God. I have to give an account. But I am confident that God had mercy on me. And, I love the Lord today. I am remarried, and I thank God for my wife. We've been married almost 14 years, but God can renew you. And yeah, maybe people who use that as a stumbling block and they can't receive anything from you, God will place you somewhere else, and he will allow other people to hear your testimony. But look, the devil talked to me just like he talked to anybody else. I've had the devil say, you might as well just kill yourself. You might as well just end it all right now. You might as well just give up. You might as well just throw in the towel. Nah. I'm going to try even harder now. I'm going to, going to be a good father. I'm going to continue being a good husband, and I'm going to be a good child of God. I'm going to support my pastor. I'm going to support the first lady. I'm going to encourage the saints. And I want to try to encourage anybody who's down and out. Maybe you're addicted on crack cocaine. Maybe you're addicted to methamphetamines and people just avoid you. I get it. You know, sometimes there's difficult situations. God can save you from that. And yes, I believe that God can heal you instantaneously, but until he does, I believe that God can also heal you gradually too. You can attend 12-step meetings. You could try to better yourself. Why not start in the house of God? Why not listen to some Bible classes? What I'm saying, as long as you have breath in your body, you can make it. Don't let anybody tell you what you can't do in God. You can make it. And maybe there's somebody listening, you've been abused. Maybe you were abused as a child. Maybe you're being abused now. Don't you know that there is a way out, that God can deliver you from that situation? God can heal you. Maybe some people are what we call church hurt. Maybe you're hurt by what some so-called church folks said something to you or your family members, and because of that, you've been holding a grudge to certain people. Don't you know that the Lord could unravel every knot? God can bring you out of that situation, but we got to trust God. Now, one thing I believe is, let's just give him everything. Give him everything. God can heal you. God can deliver you. Notice what we just read. I'm going to keep going back to it until this Bible class is over. This will probably be my last time going back to it. I just feel like we need to stay here. And again, that's in 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 9 again. Again, if we confess our sins. So for the unbeliever, you've never been saved, you need to repent. Give up your secret stash. You're holding out against God, give that to the Lord. Give that thing to the Lord. You're staying with somebody who is not your wife or not your husband, give that thing to the Lord. Let the Lord work that thing out. I know it's better, easier said than done. That's why we have pastors. That's why we have church administrations, to help you out of difficult situations, to give you strength, to put together a game plan. We want to see your soul saved. We want to see the backslider come back to the church, into the fold. God can forgive you. God can heal you. God can strengthen you. Look what the Lord can do, and he'll give you a testimony. You can live holy. You can live right. I don't want to be a stumbling block for anybody. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Yes, you can repent of your sins. Yes, you can call on the name of the Lord. He can forgive all of your sins. You can be baptized in his name for the removal or the forgiveness of sins, or for the remission of sins. And he will fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all of it, whether it's intentional Again, sometimes people backslide. They knew what they were doing, but you have remorse. You want God to forgive you. God, he said all sins. He'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You can make it if you want to make it. The title for the topic tonight is Giving God Our Secret Stash. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to close with this. Just because you were weak, just because you went out on God, just because people have distanced themselves from you, don't mean that you have to remain weak. You can be as strong as you want to in God. If people don't want to forgive you, that's their business. As long as God forgives you, as long as you are penitent in your heart, you can make it. And that's the hope that I have this evening. I'm not throwing in the towel. I mean this all the way to glory in the name of Jesus. I want as many people to be saved as humanly possible. I mean business when it comes to souls. So if you want to be saved, you can be saved. If you want to be strong, you can be strong tonight. If you want to be healed, I believe God has healing power to this day. You can be healed in Jesus' name. And there are some things that, you know, God wants to allow us to go through tests. You can make it. Don't give up. Don't give up. I know it's hard. I know it's hard. I know that it may be frustrating, but God can give you the strength to go on. Again, let's give God our secret stash. He wants every sin, and he'll clean you. He'll give you a new mind. He'll give you a new heart, and he'll give you a new spirit. God bless you. And I hope you enjoy your evening. Thank you for watching. God bless.